Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real as Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Paige Yates
and Taylor Yates.
And in this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team.
How you doing, Mom?
Good, thanks. I've been hearing about the fastest growing sport in the United States.
Okay.
Which is pickleball.
That's right.
And I kind of was like, what is this? I went out once and kind of hit the ball a little bit, but I had no idea really what was happening.
Yeah, because you play paddle tennis.
Yeah, I played paddle tennis was
pickleball before pickleball was a thing. Yeah.
I actually had the experience of going out and playing pickleball in a group of pickup, you know, it was a pickup game.
Yeah.
Where there were a bunch of people and we played 3 days in a row. And for like, it was really fun.
Yeah.
And clearly it's a game because the court's smaller and because you're not running as much that I can see how the longevity of playing it, you know, as long as you possibly can for an aging group of the population, I can see how this is a great thing to go out and play in on a daily basis.
Yeah,
it was awesome. So I must say I had not done it before and I had not seen it before really well played, but it was really fun.
Absolutely.
So encouraging people to go do it.
Right on. Well, cool. Pickleball. New Year's resolution.
Yeah,
become
exactly.
A pickleball player. Well, this week we're talking about, speaking of 2025, market predictions for 2025. So you have any thoughts? Do you have any questions?
I think there are two big things that are going to affect real estate in 2025.
Yeah.
Certainly interest rates.
Yeah.
I don't think that 3 was the norm, and I don't think that 8 is the norm. I think we need to find something that people can live with, maybe that in that 5%
range. Yeah, 5 would be good.
Five would be good because in theory, they've always said that your house, you know, the appreciation of your house and mortgage percentages should be about the same. In other words, you should be getting 5% in a savings account. You could get 5% appreciation in your house.
Right.
So those things, I think, need to kind of settle down. So I think lower interest rates from where they were is probably good for our business. I still think people with 3% locked in for a number of years are going to choose to stay put and renovate than they are to move. And I think the other big factor, which we're still facing, is lack of inventory.
Yeah.
So I just happened to look at the numbers the other day at the town of Weston. And so far we've had 104 sales for this year. We run about, in COVID, we had something closer to 180.
Yeah.
Normally we run somewhere between 140 and 150. Yeah. So you're talking about 33% less inventory.
Yeah.
And that's a big factor for people trying to buy.
Yeah, I agree.
I think those two things are going to be our big factors for 2025.
Yeah, I agree. To add a little color on the interest rate thing, it's really going to depend on what happens with inflation, right? So there might be a lot of, you know, people have been talking about like a lot of tariffs coming down, a lot of import tariffs coming down in 2025. You know, think about tariffs, they drive up prices and we don't know, like if they start driving up prices a lot, the Fed might have to hike rates again. And hopefully we find some sort of middle ground that makes everybody happy that doesn't lead to that. Because I just don't know how sustainable it is to ask people to pay. You know, the 30-year average rate has been in the upper sixes for a while now. And you're like, you know, that's just it's just a lot. And people say things like, oh, well, you know, back when I bought my house in the early 80s, the more like interest rates were 20%. It's like, yeah, well, when you bought your house back in the 80s, houses cost like 10 times less, right? Like 20% on like a $200,000 home is a lot less than 6% on a $1.5 million home.
Right. You know, people's lifestyles are constrained by they need cars where we live. They have childcare issues. They have student debt. It's really hard for people to get ahead. So I think that if that percentage of mortgage rates is in the fives, I think it's a good place for buying and selling.
Yeah, I agree. I think it would be good. It's helpful. A number of people can live with. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen to housing inventory in 2025. Again, we've got this MBTA Communities Act coming down. I don't think you're really going to start seeing effects from that for like 2 to 3 years, right? Because the state's got to approve every town's plan, which will take them, 3 to 6 months. These plans don't even take effect until maybe June. And then let's say developers can cobble together the investment money to start buying up single-family homes and turning them to 3-family, 6-plexes, whatever. That's another 6 months of construction. Yeah. So I don't think it's going to really affect us in 2025, but on the radar for 2026 and 2027.
I think also there is still a little bit of leftover from COVID in sellers' minds that their house should be getting a higher premium.
That's right.
Than in fact what it's worth. And I think in 2025, I think the key thing that I'm going to be telling my sellers is you want to price it fairly, right?
Which may be less than it was in 2022.
100%, because, we can just tell by the sales, right? When you're down 80 sales from 2-3 years ago, in the year. Right. I also think that the high end of the market is so full.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure people want to have 15, 20 million or 8 million or 9 million in a house. They might choose to have multiple houses.
Yeah.
And so I think that high end is really high.
Yeah.
And I think it makes for the middle ground to be 4 and 5 millions.
Yeah.
Kind of became 7, 8, 9 millions in COVID.
Yeah.
So I think we all have to readjust the pricing so that we don't have gaps in any one price point.
Totally. I had somebody that I worked with in 2024. We sold a place. It was a beautiful spot. And we bought it during COVID. And we were pretty aggressive about getting it. And then we ended up selling it. We sold it for a good price, but they didn't make a ton of money. And they held it, they had held on to it for about 3 years. And I was like, look, if you walk away from the Boston housing market having effectively paid no money to put a roof over your head, you're doing pretty well.
Exactly.
You're probably about a couple $100,000 richer than you would have been otherwise. And I think that's how I've been coaching people to think about this is like, don't just see it as like, I bought my house for X, I now need to sell it for Y, and the difference between those needs to be Z. Say to yourself, like, hey, what was my complete financial picture over the last number of years? I think expectations will be level set because I think where a lot of these getting out of your skis expectations are coming from is the last time people really paid attention to house prices is when they were headline news, right? When it was COVID and things were bonkers and headlines have moved on to other stuff and they haven't really checked in on real estate prices. So I think, I'm with you. I think prices may attenuate in certain segments of the market. Some are going to be as competitive as ever, like the $600,000, $700,000, $800,000 is just still going to be, it's going to be competitive.
Yeah. And anytime you're trying to enter a market in whatever you're purchasing, at the low end, there's always more competition.
That's right. And by the way, it's crazy. And we live in a city where 600 is considered low-end housing.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back to answer a question from the audience. Did you know that Paige and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs, too. With over 30 years experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today.
So T, how do you navigate situations where a client's budget doesn't match their expectations? Kind of like beer budget, champagne appetite.
Yeah.
What do you do with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the biggest thing that I use is reality, right? So I say, okay, let's go take a look at some houses that are within your budget, right? And the more people see, the more they make peace with what they can actually afford. Now, some people, it's easier than others, right? Some people I need to go out for one day and they're like, oh, I get it, right? Mm-hmm. I get that my dollar doesn't go as far as I would like it to. Most people that come to me tell me what their max budget is. They don't tell me like, hey, I would like to pay this amount, but I could actually afford that amount. So that sort of level sets on what they should expect. And the role that I play is I tell people, look, you go into houses a few times in your life, right? You go into houses for sale a few times in your life. I do it every week. And so I'm here to contextualize for you and to say whether the things that you see in these houses that are shortcomings, if that's just table stakes or if this house is actually not for you.
I also think two people have to reprogram themselves and their expectations to say, okay, they prioritize, this is really important, this is not as important. Mm-hmm. And you start whittling down those. And so if location's the most important, they might have to do a new kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, or a new bathroom.
Right.
They can't have it all. It just doesn't work that way.
Well, thanks for the great question. If you're a curious cat and would like your question to be considered, you can just send us an email at contact@yeatsboston.com or slide into our DMs at Yeats Team Boston.
That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you like this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yeats Team Boston or on the web at yeatsboston.com.